Nobody's ever seen a bad baby. We're all born good. So just how do the baddies become so bad? It didn't just happen with the wave of a wand. Or did it? Well, maybe. To find out, let's take a look at what these little angels were like as children, before they went bad. Little Zohar. In the land of 1001 nights, in the small southern town of Kiva, lived the Eliah family. Kindly father Babak and his sweet and smiling wife Zia lived in a very old house with their young son Zohar. Zohar was very tall, standing at least 2 heads higher than anyone else in the land. He and his parents lived peacefully. They had everything they desired and didn't need to work. Zohar's father had inherited this old but comfortable house, and the garden was full of all the fruit trees and vegetables they would ever need. Zohar spent a lot of time with his mother, all his time, in fact. She taught him to garden, to pick ripe fruit, to sew and fix and mend, to repair old furniture, to paint, everything he needed to become an independent boy. Babak, meanwhile, was bored. He had no great passions, no great skill. He spent much of his time in his hammock, reading, watching the butterflies, admiring the trees swaying in the wind, and observing the little frogs in their pretty pond for hours on end. But one day, on arriving home from the market, he announced to his wife and son,
"That's it. I've got it."
"Got what?" replied Zia and Zohar, bemused. "Yes, what have you got, Babak?"
"I know what I am going to do. I am going to be a magician."
Babak had bumped into his cousin Momo, who had said to him,
"Cousin, I am just back from a training course in magic led by the kingdom's prince of magic, Ali Baru, king of the magicians. And look!"
With that, his cousin had reached behind Babak's ear and produced a frog. A pretty blue one.
"I want to magic up frogs too. And apparently," Babak beamed, "apparently you can transform objects with magic."
Zia and the little Zohar exchanged glances and smiled. They loved to see Babak happy. They loved his enthusiasm. But they also knew that this wasn't the first time Babak had discovered a new calling. Last year, he had learned carpentry, but had never made a single piece of furniture. The year before that, he had trained to be a baker, but only ever made burned cakes. And the year before that, he had tried to learn to ride a magic carpet, but had never managed to get off the ground.
"But this time," Babak insisted, "this time, I really mean it. Becoming a magician is my dream."
The next day, Babak set off early for his magic class with Ali Baru. And that evening, he was all smiles as he arrived home. Zohar and his mother were sure he was about to show them a magic trick.
"Ah ha ha! Behold!" cried Babak. "Behold the new Babak! Babak the magician! Look, my son."
He turned to Zohar.
"See this coin here in my hand. On the count of three, I shall make it disappear. Wait for it. 1, 2, 3.
The coin fell to the ground. It hadn't disappeared at all. Zohar burst out laughing, and his mother laughed even harder, but both encouraged him to continue learning. Each day, Zohar and Zia would wait excitedly for Babak to come home. He was as enthusiastic and happy as ever, and it had to be said that as the days went on, he did learn a few simple magic tricks, but they really were very simple.
"See this carpet? It's my magic carpet," said Babak. "I'm going to sit on it and say the secret magic words that Ali Baru taught me, and then I'll be flying. Ready?"
He braced himself.
"Abracadabra, shamazamam. Fly, carpet. Fly, as high as you can."
And for the very first time, the carpet juddered, rose a few inches off the floor, and collapsed to the ground. Instantly.
"Blast!"
frowned Babak.
It worked this afternoon in class.
The days went by, until one evening, Babak promised his wife and son that this time, he was sure of it, he would finally be performing the greatest magic trick they had ever seen. Zia and the not-so-little Zohar sat on the floor and waited for Babak's incredible magic trick.
The big day has come, announced Babak. It is time to witness a trick you will never forget. With a few magic words and my brand new magic wand, my Transformo, I will change this hairbrush into soap.
Ready? Babak whipped out a small, clear blue glass wand from his pocket, pointed it at the hairbrush on Zia's bedside table, and spoke the magic words.
Abracadabra, Transformaroo, turn this hairbrush into soaparoo.
And just like that, the brush turned into a perfect bar of immaculate white soap.
Wow, cried his son.
Zia and Zohar were stunned, quite spellbound, and began to clap for Babak, who was happy at long last.
Well done, you did it.
Babak had achieved something for the very first time. Through sheer perseverance, he had completed his first magic trick. It is true that a few seconds later, the immaculate bar of soap turned back into Zia's hairbrush. But still, this was an excellent start, and Babak didn't plan on stopping there. The next day, up-and-coming magician Babak arrived home with an even broader smile than the day before. Using his wand, he set about transforming other objects around the house. He started by turning a chair into a slipper.
Abracadabra, Transformaroo, turn this chair into a slipper. Ooh.
In a flash, the chair became a slipper, and on he went, turning a rose into a pear and a stone into a saucepan.
Ah!
Gasped his wife and son. There were no other words. But in a fit of enthusiasm, Babak pointed his magic wand at the big, beautiful mirror in the living room and said,
Abracadabra, Transformaroo, turn this mirror into a kettle roo!
He'd missed something, though. His magic wand was pointing straight at his wife Zia's reflection. That's what a mirror does, after all. And so the magic words didn't turn the mirror into anything at all. Instead, Zia was now a beautiful talking silver kettle.
My love, cried Babak, are you there?
I'm here, darling. I'm a kettle. Your magic worked yet again.
Finding the situation all too surreal, she began to laugh from deep within her kettle body. Zohar was upset that he could no longer see or hug his mother, but Babak reassured them both. Tomorrow he would go back to magic class and get the magic words he needed to turn her back into a woman. Zohar and Zia the kettle spent the whole night and the whole next day waiting. When finally Babak pushed open the front door, he had good news.
Everything's fine. I have the magic words. Ali Baru explained everything.
They were comforted, but not for long. The magic words needed a little tweaking still, for the sweet, good-natured Zia was turned into a cupboard, an armchair, a bell, and finally, a fly. And for the first time, just as Babak was readying himself to try another string of faulty magic words, the not-so-little Zohar flew into a rage.
Stop it! The young boy shouted with all his might. Stop it right now! I want my mother back! I want to hug her tight!
Zia, meanwhile, was flying around them and came to rest on Babak's nose.
I know there's a magic lamp somewhere that makes all your wishes come true. It's hidden away in the palace's cavern of wonders. Maybe if you find it, I can get back to my old self.
Babak set off to the palace without delay and asked the king of the province to open up the cavern. Because Babak was so kind, so well known across the land for his good nature, the king agreed. but he warned him of the danger that lay ahead. The cavern was said to be magical, and he might not return in one piece. But Babak had made up his mind. He would go into the cavern to find the magic lamp, the one that grants the wishes of those who find it. The not-so-little Zohar and his fly mother spent all night waiting for Babak to come home. They waited the next day, and the next. After 6 days of waiting, they suddenly heard the tiniest of voices, Babak's voice. The little fly and the big boy searched and searched for where the voice was coming from until they spotted the tiniest of frogs on the ground, hopping around impatiently. It was Babak, now a sweet little blue frog. He had found the magic lamp, but just before that, he had seen a beautiful gemstone lying on the ground. He had bent down to touch it, and as if by magic, he had been turned into a talking frog.
Over here. It's me. It's Dad. My darling. I'm here.
From that day on, the not-so-little-after-all Zohar stayed at home with his parents, his mother the talking fly, and his father the talking frog. And Zohar was unhappy. Ever since, the very big indeed, Zohar, ran the household. His mother buzzed gardening, cooking, and mending instructions in his ear, and his frog father spent his time relaxing by the pond. Zohar fed them as best he could, but one day he had had enough of not being able to hug the mother he loved so dearly. Dressed in his finest clothes, he headed out, promising his parents he wouldn't return until he had found the precious magic lamp. He set off for the Cavern of Wonders at the Palace of the Arabian Nights. But that's a story for another day.